Chapter 6, Conclusion. The most beloved on earth not long survives today. So music past is obsolete, and yet 'twas sweet, 'twas passing sweet, but now 'tis gone away. Henry Kirke White. The time for Le Maître, the steward, proceeding to Le Fletcher, had extended far beyond the few days at first specified by his mistress. At length, the evening arrived, previous to the day on which he was to set out. Hubert busied himself all the preceding day writing letters to his dear father, for he tried two or three before he could satisfy himself what he ought to send. To tell his father that Henry only was dead, he thought would be best, and leave the other part of his melancholy news till they should meet. But no sooner had he written thus than he remembered how much his father had afflicted himself for the death of Antione. So he changed his mind and thought he would not tell him that they had suffered any bereavement at all. Then again it occurred to him that neither he nor Gabriella would be able, after all they had suffered, to sustain the view of their father's despair, when we should see them without either their beloved mother or her baby, and therefore he wrote another letter in which he communicated the death of both. But hardly had he finished this than he was persuaded the bare perusal of it would kill his father at once. So he tore it to atoms, and in his fourth and last attempt, which was to be general and concise, he wrote as follows: "My dear, dear father, I ardently desire to see you. I do not know whether you are really at Le Fletcher, but Monsieur Le Maître has given us his faithful promise that he will endeavor to find you out. We have suffered much grief since we left our own dear valley. I will tell you the cause of our sorrow when we meet. The God of our fathers has tenderly cared for us, and everybody is our friend, especially the Countess and Philip. I love and respect them very much, and Gabriella has the same regard for the Lady Isabella, who is as kind to her as if she were dear Marguerite, and the same almost as her sister, only she is noble and rich, and Gabriella is poor. Everybody in the house, particularly Le Bume and Renaud, treat us with compassion. I will tell you all, dearest father, when we meet. Gabriella weeps to embrace you once more. Oh, my beloved father, make haste to write a letter to us. We will come to you the instant Le Maître returns. Accept the affection and reverence of your loving son, Hubert de Beauvoisin. Castle of Jean Villers, Friday Eve." During the absence of Monsieur Le Maître, the young orphans continued to receive the same marks of kindness as before, and from the inhabitants of Jean Villiers. The same Lord who caused Israel to be pitied of those that carried him away captive caused the hearts of this family to pity and protect the children of his people, so that even those of the household who would either from prejudice or superstition have been rather inimical to these Waldenses, and jealous from a mistaken zeal perhaps of the favor they obtained from their mistress, were on this occasion prevented from showing their dislike, insomuch that it might be said in regard to the kindness they met with both from high and low, and that the hairs of their head were all numbered. Hubert was almost constantly in the company of Philip, either in the library, in the menage, or in the guard room, where the count was taught the accomplishments common to his age and rank. Sometimes he rode out with him into the fields, and sometimes they spent a day in the mountains, from whence, though the castle of Gennevilliers was situated at the opening of the plain, and at the descent of the last of the hills, they were not more than a day's journey distant. On these occasions Hubert showed that he possessed accomplishments fully as valuable as riding or fencing, for there was hardly a plant that adorned the sward beneath their feet, or a bird that spread its pinions over their head, or even an insect that danced in the sunbeam from the pale green grasshopper to the brilliant dragonfly that Hubert did not know by name, while of many he knew both the habits and the uses. But though Hubert was thus honored to attend the young Gennevilliers on such occasions as these, he was not admitted to sit at the same table with the count. Gabriella and he lived at Labume's table, who was kind to them, and not merely because her lady desired it, but because she really loved these children, so much had their piety and their afflictions, as well as that amiableness which ever accompanies the true child of God, endeared them to her heart. Once, when she had occasion to remark the self-denial and courtesy of Hubert to an inferior of the castle, she asked him if he learned good manners from his Bible, as well as every other virtue. He said, "Yes, it is not only taught him to do unto others as he would that they should do unto him, to be true, just, and honest, meek, patient, and gentle. It also taught him to be courteous, and not merely to think of and practice everything that was pure and worthy of praise and of good report, but everything that was lovely. The attainment of all that was implied in this word lovely, my grandfather, the dear old pastor, used to say, was the last refinement of the Christian. He called it the perfect fruit, with its bloom, freshness, fragrance, and sweetness, like natural fruit gathered in the very dew of the morning." Hubert and Gabriella, who had counted first the hours and then the days, from the time of Lemaître's departure, waited his return with a degree of impatience which almost threw Gabriella into a fever. The steward's errand to Le Fletcher was connected with business of the count's, which he could not get accomplished so speedily as he wished. At the end of another week, however, he was enabled to return to Gennevilliers. But to the utter despair of Hubert and his sister, he brought back the unopened letter which the boy had written to his father, together with the overwhelming intelligence that Pierre had perished in the destruction of the village of St. Madeleine de Belleville. But the pastor Pascal was still alive, having escaped the massacre which took place in the valley, and having ascertained, so far as it was possible to ascertain it, the fate of his brother Pierre, he had collected together as many of his beloved flock as survived the wreck of property and the loss of kindred and friends, and departing from the valley, had, by a long and circuitous route, crossed the mountains, and succeeded in rejoining his family and conveying them to a temporary asylum. The pastor had made the most anxious inquiries and most unwearied search for the wife and children of his brother, whose unfortunate departure from the rest of the party in the mountains had not been observed till too late to be remedied. All the pastor's endeavors to find the children had hitherto been fruitless. He had, however, obtained the assistance of a kind friend, an inhabitant of Le Fletcher, who had promised not to give up the search, but to endeavor by every means in his power to bring the uncle and children into communication with each other. To this person Lemaître had addressed himself, and through his instrumentality the children were now to be conducted in safety to the distant valley where the pastor Pascal, with such of his family and flock and other exiles as had outlived the miseries of the persecution, were about to unite and form themselves into a Christian community. Need I tell you that the grief of Hubert and Gabriella on hearing of the death of their beloved father was bitter? Ah, it was indeed bitter, deep, impassioned. But the Lord tempered it to them by a thousand kindnesses and condescension on the part of the amiable countess and her dear family. And when the time arrived for them to depart for La Fletcher to Monsieur Roland's, and through whose kindness they were to be conveyed in safety to the Valley of Hope, as the fugitive flock had in the gratitude of their heart to God for a place of shelter denominated their new abode, when the time arrived for their departure, the Countess and Philip loaded Hubert and Gabriella with presents for themselves and with presents for the pastor, their uncle, and for his good Louise. The Countess not only sent her own servant and mules with them to Monsieur Roland's, but directed him to accompany them after they should leave La Fletcher, till he saw them safe under the protection of their relatives. This excellent lady assured these young orphans that they might depend upon her protection at all times, and made them promise that if either deserted or persecuted, they would take refuge with her. After many days' journey, Hubert and Gabriella arrived at the valley. Their meeting with such of the fugitives from St. Madeleine as yet remained alive was deeply affecting. Pascal and his good Louise wept over them in silence, embraced them, and then wept again, nor was it for many days after their reunion that the name of their beloved mother or her affecting history could be touched upon. While on the other side, the same silence was maintained in regard to their father. He is blessed, or they are happy. These were the only words uttered by the pastor. But time, if it does not erase, at least soothes our sorrows, softens the acuteness of agonizing thought, and takes away much of the bitterness of our reflections. In the course of years, the new valley was as much beloved by the young Waldens as the valley of St. Madeleine had been by the old. Hubert became the assistant of his uncle, the pastor, till a situation among his own people in some other district should open up to him a wider sphere of Christian usefulness. Trained in the school of affliction, and educated under a preceptor of the purest principles and of the most devoted consecration of his whole being to his master's service, Hubert early became a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Gabriella, retaining all her artlessness of character, her simplicity of manner, and regaining much of her playful vivacity, became the wife of her cousin Albert, and met a happier lot on earth than had been cast for her beloved mother. The fury of persecution which had scattered the Waldenses had also scattered wide the seeds of truth. And while the Lord's people had, by his blessing, gained all that is to be gained in the furnace of affliction, many who had not with them sown in tears were nevertheless, in consequence of their distresses, now reaping in joy. Among those who had benefited by the wide sowing of the good seed of the word on that occasion was the noble boy Jean Villiers. Philip, according to his promise given at parting with Hubert, had purchased a Bible for himself, had read it for herself without note or comment, and agreeably to the advice of his humble instructor, had asked in prayer for the aid of that other teacher, even the Holy One, who alone teacheth savingly and to profit. Under the guidance of him who is the Spirit of truth, and who guides into all truth, none can err. Jean Villiers had much to combat with before he was enabled to shake off the trammels of those forms of religion, or rather of superstition, in which he had been educated. Each new conviction of the truth upon his mind, however, he was happily enabled to follow up by correspondent firmness of action, till he finally renounced all the errors of popery, and allied himself to that church which in those days began to take to itself for the first time the name of Protestant. Thus, through the instrumentality of Hubert, the peasant boy, this noble Catholic became by inquiry, from conviction, and in the use of proper means, a most valuable and interesting Christian. By nature, perhaps, Jean Villiers would have been a philanthropist and would have labored for the moral improvement and temporal happiness of mankind. But as a Christian, he took a higher aim, and to guard from the encroachments of power the religious privileges of his people, and to promote the spiritual benefit of his fellow creatures, were labors to which he bent himself with all the weight of his wealth, his worth, his influence, and his talents. United also to one every way worthy of being the wife of such a man, they both, in their domestic as well as in their public characters, exhibited to all around them the beauty, the holiness, the sanctity, and blessedness of that religion which springs up in the heart and blossoms in the life of all those who savingly believe in him of whom the Scriptures testify, and who prize above all things the precious, precious Bible. Happily for the Count, his religious sentiments were not peculiar to himself. They were shared by his family, for his excellent parent, the only mother at least he had ever known, had long leaned secretly, for fear of the priest, to the doctrines of the Waldenses. The Lady Isabella also, once too gentle and humble almost to venture to express an opinion of her own, or to question any sentiment uttered by another, was now not only from conviction and by conversion a sincere and devoted professor of the true religion, but animated by zeal and guided by love, she sought to impart to others the precious truths she herself believed, truths which had filled her with so much comfort, peace, and hope, and by which she had been delivered from a yoke of forms and ceremonies, without worth, and even without meaning, which only served cruelly to lull the conscience asleep, that the soul might thereby fall a more easy prey to the merciless wiles of the devil. The grateful Philip no sooner found himself in circumstances to promote the dissemination of the Word of God and the knowledge of the true religion among the peasantry on his wide estates, and among the artisans and mechanics in the neighboring villages, then he dispatched a messenger to Hubert his friend, the honorable name by which he always distinguished the humble Waldens, entreating him to add to the early benefits he had conferred on them and all his house by consenting to become the pastor of a church in the valley of Jean Villiers, and preaching the same gospel to the people of the cottages that he had once preached to the inhabitants of the castle. Hubert received this call with joy, and soon became the pastor of a most interesting flock, and was honored to gather in many a wanderer to the fold of the chief shepherd. Hither also resorted many of his persecuted brethren from the place where they had been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. By the blessing from above and under the protection of the house of Jean Villiers, The churches of the valleys were again seen green and flourishing, having lost nothing by being transplanted to another soil. The promise made to the dispersed flock of old seemed now to be fulfilled to this hitherto tossed and afflicted people. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. For the lost and the scattered and the brokenhearted and the sick now met in health, in cheerfulness, and in hope. And of those happy people, you would have said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For as after the natural storm and tempest, calm is sweet and it is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun, so after the whirlwind of persecution, thus to meet again in the bond of Christian fellowship, in the stillness and repose of peace, was to these holy, simple people sweet and soft as the dropping of the gentle dew from heaven, as the dew of Hermon or of Zion, for there the Lord commandeth the blessing, even life for evermore. And here, my beloved readers, I might add one or two sentences of solemn admonition before concluding my history. But I trust you have been enabled to see that the lesson it is chiefly intended to impart is to lead you to the perusal of that book which contains all the treasures of wisdom, and not only to prize your Bible above all things yourself, but to dispose you to communicate the knowledge of it to your less favored brethren around you, or to those at a distance, who, like Philip and his family, in the day of their ignorance, may not know that there is such a blessed book as the Word of God in the world. The Bible is the charter both of the religion and of the liberty of the Christian. The religion of the Bible is a religion of love. It abhors persecution. It knits human beings to each other. It sanctifies the affections. It gives to character a species of heroism, which enables man, as in the case of the Waldenses, to sustain oppression, cruelty, and contumely with the dignity of an immortal creature, and with a constancy of endurance which shows that its origin is from heaven. The religion of the Bible also teaches the subject not only to respect his sovereign, but with an interchange of feeling which the gospel alone can inspire, teaches the sovereign to respect his subject. If then we have seen in the history of Pierre and his family the evils arising from a false religion and a despotic government, let us give thanks to God for the purer dispensation of truth which we enjoy, and for that happier government with which he hath blessed our country, where every man may sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, with none to make him afraid.